Today on Real Life Radio.
When anxiety or when control issues begin to come up in your life, you're about to lose your joy. Fight back with the Bible. Take up the Bible. If you don't have a favorite verse, you better get one.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Philippians with a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3. Here now in Philippians chapter 3, Paul reminds the Philippians to keep rejoicing in the Lord and warns of those in the church who do not belong to Christ. You see, true joy is linked to the unshakable and unchangeable truth of the Bible. God's Word is measured out to us in direct correlation with how much we devote ourselves to it. When we not only believe what the Scriptures say, but understand its meaning, an inner joy comes into our lives. The telltale sign of an enemy of the Bible is their lack of spiritual joy. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a combat faith is a faith on target. This means to be aware and expectant of evildoers who twist the truth of God's Word by preaching a works-based salvation. It also means to stay focused on God's promises and allow His joy to be our strength. And now, with his message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because it's unshakable, immovable. And listen, when you and I determine to rejoice in the Lord, this is no doubt a spiritual act. We choose to do it. It's amazing. We choose to do that. It's a spiritual act, and no matter what's going on in our lives, we can rejoice in the Lord. It's a choice you make. No, Pastor, I'm not going to buy that. I feel a little bit more in control if I'm worried about it. You know, that's why you do worry. Did you know that? Are you prone to worry? The reason why you're prone to worry is because you want to be in control. I love you, but I'm going to tell you straight up. People who worry are control freaks. That's why you worry. You say, yeah, but if I worry about it, I kind of feel like I've got something, you know, to say about the outcome. You don't. It's deception. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. It's deception. We feel like, and look, it's kind of like a Band-Aid. You know by now, if you're older than 10 years of age, you've been able to figure out now that worrying doesn't really get you anywhere. Have you noticed that 99%+ of the stuff you worry about, when it doesn't happen, you go, it didn't happen after all. Did you know that's still not good enough for you? You enjoyed the worry process. You say, I did not enjoy the worry. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It made you sick. You know, you're throwing up maybe, or you got ulcers from it. But listen, the truth is, you reveled in the fact that you thought you had some sort of control over it. You will never have. You may be going to heaven, and you may love Jesus. But here's the deal. You'll not have joy because you're still hanging on. You say, how in the world can this possibly be changed in my life? It is impossible for this to change in your life unless you decide today to rejoice in Him. Say, I don't know that. It's time to start. Amen. The next time you start to have anxiety rise, and Paul's going to address this in the fourth chapter, when anxiety begins to rise, you need to step back and say, Lord, give me a word. What verse, what chapter, what scripture applies to this situation? You need to start conditioning yourself to think like that. Because if you don't, you're going to have to reach for the pills. Because you won't find any joy, any peace, and you won't find it in a pill. When you understand, when we hang on to the fact that God's joy is available to every one of His children for the asking, you will harbor that joy in your life and you'll be on guard against anything that will want to rob you. And there are people that are out there to rob it. Our very existence is to be discovered in the rejoicing of the Lord. And apparently the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, deemed it needful for the church at Philippi to hear this from the Apostle Paul. Stop worrying about it. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's a tremendous thing. It's the Lord's will that you and I rejoice in Him. But how do we do that? How do we do that? And I wrote down just here in my notes, I just simply said, here's an example for us. And I'm going to tell you right now, somebody give me a favorite verse of yours. We're going to do an experiment right here, right now. Somebody quote to me right now a favorite verse of yours. What does Jeremiah, Peggy, what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? You can paraphrase it.
For I know the plans that I have for you, to give you a future and a hope and not to despair.
Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of a hope, of a future, to bring your life to full and to a complete end. Okay, watch this. Colossians, good, but hang on, I can only do one at a time. But good. So what do we do? Watch this. Something's threatening my joy in the Lord, but I'm to rejoice in Him. Lord, you said in your Bible that your thoughts toward me are for good. I am getting stressed out. This is not good. So you got to make that determination. That is the starting to make the break with control. You said your thoughts toward me are good. Now I'm starting to loosen my grip on controlling the issue. That your thoughts toward me are for peace and for a future, and to bring my life to a full, complete end. Now watch what happens. Lord, that's what your word says. Dear Jesus, I'm asking now in your name that you would cause your word to take root in my heart right now. I'm starting to freak over what's going on. I don't know if I can make that payment. I don't know if I can be that kind of a person that I want to be for you. But God, your thoughts toward me are for a future and for hope. Your thoughts toward me are for peace. Your thoughts toward me are to bring my life to a full and glorious, complete end. God, I'm asking you to do that. I'm begging of you, Jesus, to do that. Whatever it takes for you to do that in my life. Lord, I relinquish everything to you now, that in my life you would fulfill that promise of Jeremiah 29:11. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen to this. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if my word abides in you, you may ask of my Father what you will, and it shall be done unto you. For herein is my Father glorified. Pray, Bible. When anxiety or when control issues begin to come up in your life, you're about to lose your joy. Fight back with the Bible. Take up the Bible. If you don't have a favorite verse, you better get one. And hang on to that. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light. Listen to David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Listen, why is David saying this? Because he was in the cave of darkness, as it were. He was scared. The Lord is the strength of my life. Why did David pray it? Because David was weak. Of whom shall I be afraid? Honestly, the answer is everybody. That's who I'm afraid of, unless the Lord is my strength. You see fearful people? They don't understand the Lord is not their strength. He wants to be, but they've not made Him their strength. That verse goes on. Verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. Listen, you may see that today and you go, man, I mean, that's pretty positive. I really doubt it though. Listen, use that in your moment of fear. Grab His truth and stand on it. Put it underneath your feet. Make a photocopy of it and put it inside the lining of your shoes. If you have to remind yourself, put it on the dashboard of your car or your forehead. Stand on that to ward off the enemies that would come against us. Well, who are these people? I thought you'd ask. Look at verse 2. Combat faith is joy on target. Joy on target. This is amazing. Joy on target. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine him right now. He's here. Imagine if he's here. He's here. And he's got his robe on. He's Paul. He's the guy. You know, 2,000 years ago, he's wearing a robe. He might have a staff. And he's walking along. He's got some scrolls. And he's Paul. And he's here. And he's saying, I love you guys. And be strong in the Lord. And he's speaking to you what he's written in the New Testament here. And then he says, oh, it just dawns on me. In this invitation for you to rejoice in the Lord, beware of dogs. It's almost like, what a strange, where did that come from? You know what's so cute about this? The word beware is an exhortation to us. The word exhort is to, as I've told you before, you know what I'm gonna say? It's to get you right here. It kind of stings a little bit, but it kind of picks you up at the same time. It catches you right there in the seat of the pants, and it picks you up. God never comes down on you like that. He always, when he exhorts you, picks you up. And Paul's exhorting them. And he says, beware. Well, what's that all about? This beware is an amazing word. Mark it down if you would. It means to keep your eyes wide open. Open your eyes. It means to be looking for, scanning. You're serious, expecting danger. It means to be expectant of danger. Notice he doesn't say the word worry about the coming danger. You guys, I grew up in a home. My mom was born and raised in Hawaii. And if you know anything about the Hawaiian culture, they have over 1,000 gods in the Polynesian worship system. And they had, I don't know what this means, but my mom would say, oh, my ears are ringing. Someone's talking about me. All these things, all the time I grew up with this. If it was this way, if the clouds were this way, oh, this means that evil's coming. Oh, this means it's going to be a good, it was just insane. I mean, it's just crazy. My mom would avoid highways or streets that went near a cemetery because if you drove by a cemetery, then someone in your family was going to die. I'm not kidding. My mom, listen, this is too much information. But my mom, in the summer when we didn't have school, my mom was a clean freak. You could eat off our floors in our house. She cleaned everything twice. Well, when she cleaned our rooms, she would say during summer, now you guys get on out and play. I don't want to see you till dinner time. Just get out of the house. And if we came home during the day, because she didn't want the house messed up, she would say, don't go in your room. Listen to this. Don't go in your room. The Manahunis are in there. What is that? Jack, don't go in your room. I just cleaned it. There are demons under your bed. Then the sun began to set, and my parents would say, it's time to eat and go to, not a chance. I remember, did you ever have a twisted life like this? I remember running into my room, jumping onto my bed because I didn't want them to get my legs up, my feet underneath. See, man, that's sick. Exactly. Exactly. Paul is saying that these things that come into our lives that intimidate, to rob us and to steal us of joy, that are a reality, I should say, we're to be aware of those things. Something to rob us and to steal from us. So watch this. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. It's a dramatic picture that he paints. It's rather amazing. You might appreciate this. When he says it to them, he is saying to them, like any loving mother or father would do, I guess, is I want to wrap you up with this truth before I send you outside. It would be like if you lived in a snowy environment, I guess, you would say, come here, Junior, put on your beanie. Here's your jacket. Zip it up. Here's your boots. Okay, don't take any of this stuff off. And you turn them around. Get your finger out of your nose. It's cold out there. And don't talk to strangers. Go to the bus stop. sent him out there. He's all bundled up. Paul is saying, I've just bundled you up with all of this teaching thus far, and I've turned you around, and I'm going to send you out there now. Okay, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. That's what I'm saying to you today. Watch out. Take his truth, be girded about with it, let God's promises be your strength and your joy, and get on out there into that world. Watch what happens. So, what's he talking about here? Why these three things? Specifically, these three things. He's talking about the Judaism of his day. Now, you're going to want to hear carefully this. The Judaism of his day. Let me define Judaism according to the scriptures and history. Number one, there is what is known as Mosaic Judaism. That would be Judaism under the teaching or the Old Testament instruction of Moses. Okay, that's fine. That's good. If you listen to Moses, that's good. Are you with me? It's the Bible. First five books of the Bible. That's good. Mosaic Judaism. Then there's the Pharisaic or Judaism of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees. They took from Moses, and you know this if you've read the New Testament, and they've twisted it, and they made it a Pharisaical Judaism, which is not Mosaic. It's a perversion of the first five books. Follow with me. If you're a Jew here today, and I'm talking about Judaism, you're getting offended right now. But you should be, because Moses taught rightly. Later on, the scribes and Pharisees perverted what Moses had taught. That's not my opinion. It's Jesus' declaration even. The third point or Judaism style would be that of nationalistic Judaism. What is that? Well, during the time of Paul the Apostle, nationalistic Judaism was this. Salvation and heaven belonged to the Jews. Gentiles were created for hell. Too bad for them. And just being a Jew, you get to go to heaven. Nationalistic Judaism. There's people walking around today that are of national Judaism. They don't love God. They don't obey God. They live godless lives. But because they say, well, I was born Jewish. I'm a Jew. I'm going to heaven automatically. I'm his chosen people. And that's false. That's not true. But then there's what we have today. And it was an element of Paul's day, and he'll address them as well. This has been going on for the last 2,000 years. And that, for lack of a better term, it is a type of Judaism that's been Christianized. You want to be careful with this, because this is what we encounter today. It's first addressed in Acts chapter 15. It's when Jews became Christians, they departed from the joy of the Lord, they departed from the promises of God, and they said things like this. To be a real Christian, you need to first come to Judaism. You need to become a Jew first. You need to go through the rituals. You need to keep the feast and the festivals and be circumcised. And then you can become a Christian. They believed that was the path to Christianity. This was a big fight in the book of Acts. This is what they contended with and decided in Acts chapter 15. You can read it later. They had to call a council together. Because listen, Paul was preaching to the Gentiles and the church in Jerusalem got all upset about Gentiles getting saved. How can this be? And Peter preaches and Peter says, wait a minute, I preached the gospel and a bunch of Gentiles got saved. And they said, there's no way, they've got to be circumcised. They've got to keep the feast. They've got to do this. They've got to keep our rules and regulations. Listen, everybody. You say, how does this apply to me? It applies to you and I big time today. You want to know why? Beware of anybody who's trying to put upon you a yoke of jumping through the hoops, meeting the standards, and then you can be saved. You've got to walk like us. You've got to be baptized in our water. You've got to join our club. You've got to get our marks or thumbs up or happy faces, and then we will accept you. That is not biblical, and that is just like those who prostituted Christianity, and they tried to Judaize it. And this is who Paul's talking about. Let me tell you something. He is relentless on exposing these people. So hang on to your seats. He warns them all that the Judaizers were people who said, yeah, you can be a Christian, believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Y'all agree to that. And do this. The moment you hear the word and, run. And I'm not kidding. The moment you hear that, watch out. Because they're adding to the plan of salvation. I'm going to get letters on this from people. Not so much you, but those that might hear it on the radio. Pastor, don't you realize that we are to submit to our leaders only if they're biblical? But this person, this founder of our movement or our denomination was a champion of, stop following people. Bible. Interesting. Listen, here you go. If you're not offended, how about now? All the cults and legalists have this in common. They have a works-based salvation. They have the and. Oh, we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as long as you... Who are they? Jehovah's Witnesses. Nice people. But they are the and. Mormons, really nice people. But they are people of the and. Jesus died for our sins. And after you've done all that you can to save yourself, it's a joint effort and you get to make it in. Judaism. You know any Jews today? Ask them, what are they doing about their sins? Where's their old? Where are they sacrificing animals for their atonement? Oh, we don't do that anymore. We believe and. Islam. What is salvation in Islam? Everybody's talking about the glories of Islam. Are you kidding me? Ask a Muslim, how do you get saved? Ask a Muslim to confess or to admit their sins. What do they do for atonement? Oh, it's good works and. Oh, we believe in Jesus. He was a prophet. That's it. And we do this. All cults, all false religions have the and in common. 100% true. If you like it or not, it's true. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, the Bible says, I will continue doing what I have always done, says Paul. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Paul, so subtle, huh? Isn't he?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack's book of the month is a must-read for every Christian in our nation today. It's called Letter to the American Church, and it really is an earnest wake-up call. Best-selling author Eric Metaxas warns us of the haunting similarities between today's American church and the German church of the 1930s. The parallels Metaxas reveals are astounding. Can we avoid the fatal mistakes the German church made during the rise of Nazi Germany? Silent in the face of evil, is the American church guilty of that same silence? We may find ourselves at this moment in time at a crucial crossroads in church history.
It's historic. It's current. Eric Metaxas has done an amazing job in speaking, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to the current church in America and where she needs to go and what she needs to do if she's going to be a witness.
Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas is available for your gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.